Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 104, the first anniversary show, even though first anniversaries aren't a thing, but, you know, people don't know that. Kyle Bennett, Matt Castorina, Dom Ponteri, Brooke Destra, Herm the Interns in the building.
Squad.
Before we get started, got to give a shout out to our sponsors, Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. What's going on, guys?
Just another day, another dollar, you know?
Another day in paradise.
I'm living it up. I don't know about you guys.
I think that's all the white people responses that you could get. I think we did.
We've covered it all, well, and we're done.
Here we go.
Shit white people say.
Wait, no, I got it. Can't complain, man.
The white guy
smile. Same old.
I'm very, very guilty of the white guy smile.
I do it all the time now. It's bad.
Throw up the peace sign.
It's going.
That's mine. That's my go-to.
Living the dream.
Yeah, I mean, it was going. And then this morning at like 3 a.m., Elton Brand was like, "What's up, guys? Hope you're awake." And pulled off the biggest trade so far. Of the last couple months.
Matt broke the news to us in the group chat. I woke
no,
up
Alex
for work.
Did. Alex yeah. was up oh. and posted a tweet. I was first to wake up and react.
Yeah, I wasn't on Twitter, that's why. Because
yeah, so.
I woke up for work and I saw your group me text.
Okay.
I woke up and was like, huh? And totally agreed with Matt that Woj bombs about my team are not good for my health.
Yeah, I liked it like last week when the Anthony Davis stuff came out, because it came out like right when I got to work, so I had something to like occupy my like thoughts instead of, you know, work. So that was like nice. Not as nice as like as soon as I woke up having to like think about roster changes and Landry being gone. That hurt me the most, I think, as soon as I woke up.
Agreed.
So not the best way to start my day. But I mean, are we diving right into this or
let's do it.
My first reaction, my initial reaction at 5:20 this morning was good for us because we're getting Tobias Harris, who's a really good player. If he was in the East this year, he'd probably be an all-star. He's a borderline all-star in the West, which we know is a lot more difficult, especially the front court is really loaded. Like Nikola Jokic isn't going to start, you know, and neither is Anthony Davis.
Right.
And those are two players that are going to be contending for first-team All-NBA this year, more than likely. So yeah, just to give you a landscape of how that looks, he can stretch the floor a little bit. He's got length, and he's gonna fulfill a real need for us, which is a strong number four. We had Wilson Chandler starting there, who couldn't stay healthy and wasn't exactly what I would call consistent. So it's a clear upgrade for us. Positionally, we also get Boban Marjanovic. Those Balkan names really trip you up.
Marjanovic.
Bobby and Toby. The Bobby and Toby show rolls east now, which is nice. They get to stay together.
Trust the friendship.
They're very good friends. And
they're going to fit into Philly so unbelievably well. Yeah. I can't wait to see the chemistry between the players. I think that's what I'm most looking forward to, both on and off the court.
My biggest question is, have you ever seen Boban and the Philly Fanatic in the same room? Don't think so.
Yeah, I think you're going to now. You probably will. Yeah, I mean, it sucks because we lost Corey Brewer, great meme player, this past week. I was really beat up about that. And we lost Landry Schmidt, who also
great
meme player and also a great player. But we get Boban back, so
I think the worst part about losing Landry is that his final play in a Sixers uniform was a bullshit call from the refs.
Yeah. See, I don't even want to talk about the Toronto game too much because it's just hurt my feelings. If
the
I'm
fact
being honest.
The fact we lost by 12 is just decent because we could have lost that by a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, we had JJ out. Wilson wasn't starting. We had to put Muscala in. It seems like every time we've matched up with Toronto this year, one of the teams has either been resting or injured players. Albeit, like, last time, pretty much everyone there was hurt or being rested, whereas, you know, we're only missing JJ and Wilson. It's not that, you know, theoretically not that big, but JJ's a big part of our offense. So not having him last night, I think, played a piece. But, like I said, you know, for this whole run, what we want to do is be competitive. I don't go into all these games thinking we should absolutely be winning. As long as we're competitive and we're not getting blown out and you can see the blueprints for how we're going to be competing in the playoffs, I think that's good enough, in my opinion.
100%
can't win
agree.
Every game, unfortunately. But
plus, you know, you have salary matching in the NBA. We have tattoo matching because we get Mike Scott back.
Yeah.
The three-regional manager.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely love it. I saw one tweet. Somebody said... Ben Simmons is going to see a lot of you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott notes in his locker now.
Yeah. So I just want to my issue with this trade is I am excited to see how this team looks. I think we already had, even with just Jimmy Butler and the way our team was, you know, 24 hours ago, I thought based on talent alone, on our starting five, you can make the case that we had the most talented starting five in the East. And I still think that's the case now, except we've added a borderline all-star at the four. We're going to be throwing out Ben, JJ, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, and Joel Embiid. That is the best starting lineup in the East.
Yeah, it creates matchup problems for literally every single team. The one thing, the reason why Boston had such an easy job playing us is because they pose matchup problems for us. They could defensively scheme out a way to stop us. Mm-hmm. Adding Tobias to that four spot now forces certain players to play certain people. You know, you either need to have Morris play Ben, like they did, or play Tobias because Tatum or whoever else, if they're put on Tobias, really can't guard him.
Yeah.
So it's nice. And it kind of poses the same problem for Toronto. I think Toronto matches up a little bit better. But again, you know, we create matchup problems for everybody in our conference.
Plus, now you have really two shooters on the floor in your starting lineup that is
which is
just
a serious
elevate
upgrade from
this
what
offense.
I think Tobias Harris is one of the most efficient 3-point shooters in the league. I think there was some stat I saw where it's like him, Steph, and Buddy Hield are like
they're like the top three.
Yeah,
and mind you, Tobias Harris is 6'9" and plays at the four.
Yeah,
and is very good. So from a personnel standpoint, I like it. What I don't like is what we gave up. Again, I could make my peace with trading Landry Shamet for, you know, a player like Tobias Harris. Like, I could get in with that. The reason I'm bummed about losing Landry is because I think last month and a half especially, he's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think these were overblown and unfair to him and unfair to Klay Thompson, but he was getting Klay Thompson comps. I don't necessarily think that's his pipeline. I don't know that that's where he ends up. I don't think he'll be as good defensively. But I do think that he's not going to become like one of the best shooters of all time, but I think you will, like, we could miss Landry more than we may think now. And I think the problem with losing him is, especially with the way our roster and our contract situation is going to go, we're going to need players, especially on rookie deals that are cost controlled, that we have ownership of for 3 or 4 years on really good deals. So it's a bummer losing him. We traded our first next year and the Miami 21st pick, which we acquired when we traded Bridges on draft night for Zaire Smith.
The thing with the 2020 picks is, though, they are lottery protected.
Yeah, so God forbid, you know, we just like get screwed by injuries and we have a terrible year, we're at least have insurance, which is good.
I think that's through like 2023 as well.
Yeah, I think it's lottery protected, and then it becomes 2 seconds.
Yeah,
I believe is the
if it doesn't match by like 4 years or something.
But
like
ideally, like that's, you know, you're hopefully they're picking 30.
Yeah,
like honestly, but and then we give up Detroit's second, which is actually a pretty good second rounder as far as that goes.
Is their 2021 second and their 2023 second? Both of the seconds were Detroit's.
And for me, I think. It's, I think it's a pretty significant overpay, if I'm being honest. If Tobias Harris was locked up for, say, all of next year, especially on his current deal, I'd be super psyched about this. But he's an expiring contract. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent this summer, which is a worry. And I don't think we should forget that there are two teams now with the Clippers and the Knicks, and the Lakers are going to get there, that have two max slots this
summer.
And
there's, I think, nine teams that have at least one max slot.
Yeah. That's not great. because here's my issue, is that we have essentially with this trade locked in where I don't feel that we needed to lock in. And I thought this with the Jimmy Butler stuff as well. While I liked acquiring Jimmy Butler, I said it even at the time that I didn't understand why we were moving this quickly. I didn't understand why we flipped the switch to win now when our stars are so young. Like, Ben Simmons is in his sophomore season still. Like, Joel Embiid, this is his first fully healthy season, you know, outside of last year with the, like, he had the back-to-back stuff early in the season, and then he had the unfortunate, the facial fracture, but...
Thanks, Markel.
Yeah, thanks, Markel. His biggest contribution to this team was injuring our franchise player.
With his shoulder,
With his shoulder.
Now injured.
Ironically enough, Jesus. That shoulder has damaged this franchise in so many ways.
We're on Fultz trade watch, though, now. Yeah. So
with two teams.
I would trade Fultz for, like, a Jimmy Johns hoagie at this point. Like, so, yeah, I just think, like, we've locked in now to Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid being a future, which isn't a bad spot to be at. But if Wojnarowski's report is to be taken at its value, which is that we're looking to lock those four in for the long term, that's deeply concerning to me because I like Jimmy Butler. I like him a lot. And I think we've seen in games over the past few months where he's taken over, or that when he hasn't been the main guy, he's been able to stat stuff and he's been able to focus more defensively. And I think that's what we're going to definitely see now. Tobias on the team is not going to have to carry the offensive load. But he's not worth a max contract. And neither is Tobias Harris, if I'm being honest. But they're both going to get paid max money. If it's not by us, some other team will pay them that, which means we're going to have to pay. We overpaid to trade for Tobias. I think we got fair value for Jimmy Butler. And now we're also going to have to overpay max money more than likely to get them. Maybe there's a chance we let Jimmy walk. I don't know. I don't know if I believe that the organization will do that, personally.
Yeah, the Woj report comes out and says that they're looking to re-sign, or they're looking to keep the big four.
Yeah.
You're right. So with the way they were talking about that, it sounds like JJ is going to become like a second thought, and if he walks, he walks. And you keep...
Which is concerning to me.
Yeah.
Big time. Because in this offense right now, JJ is more important than Jimmy Butler.
100%. Yes. 100%.
And you've last seen night. That. In how many, two games how many times that JJ's we struggle without
JJ? Recently. The only thing I could say is if Tobias can, you know, have a big impact with the three ball, then it's not that big of a loss.
That's even the though, thing, too, you know, with Tobias is, like, if you lock him up long term, you have Ben, Joel, Tobias locked up, like, they're still in their early to mid 20s.
Yeah, Tobias is 26, Embiid
so
is
your,
25.
Your core three ben essentially is still under 30 through the next four seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my issue, though, is that say we lock those guys up, that's going to be $120, $130 million tied up in four players. You're talking, we're Oklahoma City, East Coast now, where we're going all in on guys that two of which I don't think will be actual max value. Ben Simmons will get more than likely maxed, and let's be real, I don't think he's going to develop a jump shot in the next year or a three-point shot. So you're going to be paying a guy a max who, on the whole, is probably deserving, but is going to still have a glaring weakness. That's a potential issue. And that means we're at the cap right there. With those alone, we're at the cap. That's not without JJ being re-signed, who I'm really worried about this summer, especially now. Because, like we mentioned, there's going to be a lot of teams with money to throw around.
Including Brooklyn.
We've almost lost him for two consecutive off seasons. Now, my feeling has always been that we overpaid him these past two contracts with a wink and a nod that when the time comes, he will take a pay cut to stay with this team. But, I mean, let's be honest. Like, at the end of the day, there's no, like, favors being owed here. Like, it's get what you want and what you deserve. We saw with John Wall, like, he got his money, he got paid, now he's injured, but he made the decision for himself to take a big contract, you know. So I wouldn't blame necessarily JJ for going. If someone's offering him what we're paying him now on a 3 or 4 year deal, like, yeah, why the hell wouldn't you? So I think just long term, I'm concerned about where we go financially, that we now have no real trade assets left. Markel Fultz is our last one, and I don't think he's very valuable at all. Like, we're talking about just moving Fultz on for an expiring, just so we can have that $10 million cap hold off our next this summer.
The things that were mentioned, because I was watching the Woj and Zach Lowe little special thing that they had, they're in talks with Atlanta and with Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would be the two places you would expect, because both of them need – Orlando especially needs a point guard. Atlanta could use someone to pair with Trae Young, and they both have the luxury of being able to develop someone like that and be patient. We can't be patient with Fultz anymore.
Now, the thing with Atlanta is, does Taurean Prince still come into play with a Fultz trade?
I don't know if we get Taurean Prince for Fultz straight up, but this is my point, is that we've given up pretty much every trade asset we have now. We don't even have, like, salary fillers anymore.
Well, this is the other thing, though. Like, Taurean Prince has also been talked about as a buyout option. So Atlanta can either let him just go,
which is odd,
or they can get somebody in return for him. Right. So, you know,
because Taurean's under contract next year too.
Yeah. So it's like Atlanta has kind of their backs against the wall, and they have to make this decision. It's either do you buy him out and let him go, and still I guess he'll be under contract, I guess, for a year, or do you trade and get somebody? Even if it is Fultz, I mean, you're still getting something for him.
Because then the Orlando option more than likely seems like it would be Terrence Ross.
Which I'm not completely opposed to.
At this point, anything we get for Fultz is almost
a win.
Not the point for me. It's just getting... Because look, like, that $10 million is going to be the difference. It could be the difference if we let Jimmy Butler walk between having a max slot and not. And when I say it could be, it will be the difference, because we don't have really any other money lined up. And if Fultz is the reason that we either don't land a max guy, or that we're not able to fill out our bench with two really, you know, like, good mid-level players that are going to be able to be sixth and seventh guys for us, I'd be upset, because let's be honest, Fultz has played, like, what, roughly 30 games for the Sixers, if it's even that much. He's shown very little of any flashes. I think we just have to just take our lumps at this point and move on and be happy that the Kings this year aren't terrible and might make the playoffs. This is great for us, because now Celtics, you know, that Kings, they might push themselves into the playoffs, and that pick becomes a little bit less valuable.
And now the Clippers are sort of kind of tanking, which would prevent the Celtics from getting the Clippers first round pick as well.
Yeah. Shout out to the Clippers for being ballsy. Let's be honest. Like, if I was a fan of the Clippers, I'd love this move. Like, as good as Tobias is, their ceiling was getting knocked down the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
And that's the worst place to be in any sport, is just being a perennial 7th and 8th seed and just getting two home playoff games and getting swept, or getting, you know, a gentleman's sweep. Like, at the end of the day, like, I think they got a really good haul for this guy, especially considering he's in expiring this summer. And, I mean, yeah, now they can load up two max free agent slots. Like, everyone's talking about Kawhi and KD and Kyrie, and especially KD and Kyrie going to the Knicks. Like, the Clippers have, not even all of a sudden, like, I think they've always had the whispers, especially about Kawhi Leonard going there this summer, but now you have a legitimate pathway for them to get two max guys.
And now they have trade assets, too, to potentially get Anthony Davis.
Really good trade assets. I don't think they'd trade for Anthony Davis. I don't think they have the actual players available, but I think that this is a team that could use those trade assets. Doesn't even have to be this year. I mean, look, we've said this and we've talked about this. It's now like every other week, just because it's the trade deadline, there's a big player, all-star player, getting traded.
Yeah.
Like, we Woj said this.
Just put a report out that Otto Porter's on the trade block now.
I said big player, all-star players. big player. He gets paid like an all-star for sure. But
that's another guy that's going to be on the move for somebody.
We said this over the summer where, you know, we sort of punted with free agency, and I think people were upset by that. But, you know, then Jimmy Butler becomes available. In July, no one knew Jimmy Butler was going to be available. Yeah. No one knew Kristaps Porzingis was going to be available, because he was still injured too. So, like, no one thought Tobias Harris was even going to be as good as he was. He's been improving the last years, but I don't think anyone thought he was going to take another leap like he did. No one thought Anthony Davis was going to be requesting a trade. Like, every season you're getting at least one, you would say, superstar in this league requesting a trade. And for a team like the Clippers to take like the longest view in the room route, I think is smart for them.
And Otto Porter has been traded to Chicago for Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker.
I guess that's just the Wizards trying to get off the tax and out of that cap load space situation. John Wall. Poor John Wall, dude. That's so rough.
God,
that sucks.
I don't.
That sucks. Honestly, like, I can't imagine having. Like, at the end of the day, like, dude's going to make, like, $150 million over the next, like, few years, which is, like, it's hard to feel bad for someone when they're making that much money, but, like, at the same time, like, this is a guy that, like, this is his livelihood, and this is all he's known for his, like, pretty much entire life, you know, just playing basketball, and, like, I think to have that taken away from you just due to injury and then just, like, slipping and falling in your house while you're trying to recover and do rehab for your injury is just... That just sucks, man.
That's like
so much.
He's been injured so many times, like, and he could have been, like, he could have had such, like, not saying that he didn't have a good NBA career up to this point, but like, he could have had a way better career too if he like didn't get injured as many times. You know, when he came into the league, everybody was just ready for it. John Wall was like one of the hottest, you know, prospects at the time, and you know. I've been a huge fan of John Wall, and it's just kind of sad to see.
Sucks, dude.
I'm mad I didn't get any love for that meme I put up either. I put the gif of Meek Mill slipping on his stairs, and I said John Wall be like,
"It's messed up, dude."
I gotta put that right now.
It's cold world. Yeah, I think.
Terrible, man.
I think for the Wizards, it's not a bad deal though. Honestly, you know, you get off that bad contract. Jabari Parker's an expiring, I believe, right? And Bobby Portis is like a pretty decent young piece.
They don't really have like a big man either anymore, right? Dwight is just sort of an enigma in and of itself
this year. They have Yanni Hime, who they're paying stupid money to.
Jason Smith earlier.
Dwight takes off like every 3 days for butt pain anyway, so you know.
Smooth.
Double yikes. Yeah, I mean,
Bobby Portis isn't a bad pickup for them.
Rest in peace.
And then the other trade that potentially affects the Sixers today went down with the Heat and the Suns. Wayne Ellington and Tyler Johnson going to Phoenix.
Say it with me, folks. Buy out.
For Ryan Anderson, who was kind of our dark horse to come to the Sixers. But Wayne Ellington is expected to be bought out. And
don't mind if we do.
He could find himself on the Sixers bench.
Soon, I'm your Huckleberry. I would love Wayne Ellington on the scene. This was someone I was thinking about trading for.
Yeah.
I say I was thinking about, like, I have any input on. I wish I had Elton's phone number. I'd be hitting him up today. But I think Wayne Ellington, obviously, like I've been saying for a while, any NBA player on the buyout market will be good for us. Mm-hmm. Especially someone like Wayne Ellington who fits a need of a wing, a scorer, and can play tangible NBA defense.
How many roster spots do we still have?
We have like four.
Okay, so
realistically,
yeah. So like we have no bench. Any combination of like Ellington, Matthews, and I don't know, someone like Mirotić or anybody like that.
I don't think Mirotić gets bought out. I think he gets traded. They want a first round pick for him. I can't imagine them just buying him out. I think they're going to try and squeeze value. And
I think the biggest names we got to watch is Wayne Ellington and Wesley Matthews.
I think they should both end up in Philly. That would do leagues of help for us.
I mean, we got to see what happens with Atlanta, too. You know, Dwayne Dedman could, if no one moves in for him, maybe gets bought out. Jeremy Lin as well.
I don't think that Jeremy Lin moves the needle that much.
I think he's way better than TJ McConnell.
That would be the reason to bring him in, yeah. Defensively, he's really not that much more help than
we don't need to. I don't think we need a guard to come in and play defense.
Yeah.
So that's just where the Sixers are at. My feelings is, I'm very excited. I can't wait. Hopefully, they're all ready to play against Denver. But
allegedly they're getting introduced tomorrow, according to a report I saw, and then they should be ready to play Friday.
I mean, it's exciting.
You look at it. Kyle Newbeck tweeted this earlier today. Their first three games, these three new guys, could be against the Nuggets on the night that we're also retiring Moses Malone's number. Sunday matinee against Lakers. LeBron and the Lakers, and then home on national TV against the Celtics.
That's if LeBron isn't too much of a coward to play against us.
That's true.
If he's load managing.
Did you guys also see the tweet from Michael Lee from The Athletic about last night with all the fans yelling at Elton to get a deal done? He said, when Elton got up from his seat near the end of the first half last night, the same fan that like a whole bunch of people were tweeting about shouted to him to get something done. Elton responded with, "I got you," walked off, and then a few hours later.
Well, apparently, too, I was reading the Athletic article as well that broke down the trade and that Elton was late to his chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, left as he normally does at halftime, but there was already, like, speculation about, you know, what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And Brett Brown let loose that him and Elton had been talking before the game pretty intensely, so.
Brett also didn't sound too enthused about Markel, which.
Why would
goes
he be?
To tell, it goes to show you that, like, he's done here.
It's like asking a parent about their disappointing child. It's like, oh, yeah, Markel, what could have been?
Can we just talk about Ben and Joel instead? Like, I don't want to talk about Markel.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about Markel either. And unfortunately, the situation's untenable at this point. Just move him on. It's what's best for him. It's what's best for the Sixers.
Feel we can't blame Markel.
Oh, well, maybe we can.
Kind of, but like this injury is a little bit like the way he handled it.
First of all,
the way he handled it. Yes.
Time out. We don't even know if it's a real injury. We don't know anything.
Okay.
We don't know even what's actually wrong with Markel.
I think it was dragged out, but for somebody who was number one overall pick to just not want to play out of nowhere doesn't make any sense to me. So there has to be some sort of underlying issue, whether it's an injury or if it's something mentality wise, there is definitely an issue. We just don't know what that is, and that's the frustrating part.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And like a similar injury, not exactly the same thing, if Markel is even injured, happened to Landry Fields, and I mean he never even recovered from it. His time in the league kind of just ended. Now Markel's trying to play, hopefully, at some point somewhere. But I don't think, like, if this shoulder thing is true, we can't get mad at him for having this freak injury just happen. You know, it just happened. He's 19. He doesn't really know how to handle that kind of thing correctly because, you know, you're so excited. You're at the top of your sport and, you know, you're going to go play professional basketball.
And you choose to eat Chick-fil-A every day.
Yeah.
Whether you're getting paid $8 million to be a professional athlete.
You know, it would be some crazy stuff if it came out that the reason for this whole thing was because of his Chick-fil-A eating habit. Chick-fil-A caused star basketball player to end career early.
Yeah, I mean, if Chick-fil-A stock didn't go down when, like, they had the whole incident a few years ago with them giving money to, like anti-LGBT organizations, I don't think even the Sixers riot brigade would break that up. I don't know. With Markel, man, like, I don't think we'll ever even know what really happened with him. I don't even think we'll get a 30 for 30 because I don't think he'll ever open up. I don't know what's going on with his mom. That's always been a weird situation. You don't want to prod too much into, like, a player's personal life, but, like, I don't know. There's so many weird things going on with him that it's just, like I said, I think it's just better for him, better for the Sixers to just kind of wash our hands of it and give him a shot somewhere else because he's not going to get it here. I think he has too much pressure here as well. Like, you know, say he even comes back this season, like, I can't imagine what just a circus that'll be. Like, he just gets overanalyzed here, overscrutinized. I think it would actually be great for him to go somewhere like Orlando, smaller market, way less pressure. I think they'll be a lot more patient with him. I think, you know,
he needs a fresh start, and
yes, 1,000,000%.
Yep.
Tobias Harris, baby,
load up, ring that bell, brother. But yeah
no, and not Boban. Boban.
Boban. I cannot wait for the Boban Embiid memes.
Yo, sorry, before
we go move for on, it. That's why we're here.
I just want to say, I'm going to be so happy when Boban steps on the court. Not just because I stan him, but also because now we have a competent backup big that we don't have to put up watching Muscala and Amir all the time now. This is nice for us because Boban is like a traditional big. He stands on the block, grabs rebounds.
He's a big, beefy boy.
He has the most, like, 10 to 15 minute double-doubles in the league or something
he
like that.
He has, historically, the best PER.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
He is a better player.
To dunk.
Statistically, there's a statistic that says he's a better player than Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Yeah, I know.
That's why we had to give up the Heat pick.
I retweeted that
today. Traded for the best player in the league.
Yeah.
God bless him.
You know, he grabs rebounds and dunks after jumping through like a half inch off the ground. You know, it's perfect.
This one's for you, Boban. Yeah.
He comes in. He came in most home games at the Staples Center riding some sort of vehicle.
Dude, just wait till he's on the road with Meek Mill.
He came in one time.
I know. I was just squinting at you saying vehicle. What is that?
Something that takes you from point A to point B.
A vehicle?
Yeah.
A vehicle.
Oh, now it's gotta be Boban.
What's a vehicle?
Oh, God.
This is like water conversation.
No, because you can call it whatever. Vehicle is weird. Sound like someone at a country club.
Oh, my God.
Vehicle.
Let's move on.
You sound like an old man. You got your New Balance orthopedic shoes on.
We were just talking about...
Play the back nine today.
Play the front, all right?
Tell me about your E-Trade account. What stocks are you into?
Oh, back-to-back weeks of just running Dom.
This is the best decade of our friendship.
Burke, you're just figuring that this happens out.
This is good stuff.
I didn't just figure it out, but I didn't know that this happened as frequently as it does on the pod.
This has been worse. You know what's bad? This translated to college, too. Like, the eight guys that I met on my floor, aside from Nikolai, and I think that's who they learned it from.
Yeah, it was definitely learned behavior from Nikolai.
The other eight guys on my floor just adapted it and embraced it, and it just kept on in college. And I'm just used to it now. It just happens. Shameless.
It happens.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Does this move make the Sixers the favorites in the East?
I think you'd probably have to say yes, just because, like I said, I think top five talent were there. I think it's going to really be dependent on who we get at the buyout.
Agreed.
And who everyone else gets at the buyout. Mm-hmm. And if anyone, you know, Toronto's talking about maybe moving Kyle Lowry. We'll see what becomes of that. I mean, there's teams that could still make moves and plays just like we can. But I think Tobias gives us a really interesting... Let's be honest, like, we all know, like, what's going to be difficult about the playoffs this year is semifinals onward. We know that second round is where it's going to start getting really heavy, and even the first round could have a pretty difficult matchup if you're at the 4 and 5. So we know that, like, our route is going to have to involve, to even get to a conference finals, is going to have more than likely one of the Raptors and Celtics, you know? That's pretty difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the Bucks, you know, depending on seeding. So one of those three we're gonna have to beat in a 7-game series to even make the conference finals. And you would imagine one of the other remaining two we would have to face to get to an NBA final. And then there you go, your prize for that is trying to beat the Warriors. So I don't know. I think it definitely moves the needle for us. I still think the Raptors are a really difficult team, and I think if Kawhi can stay healthy and
with that quad.
Engaged. Yeah, I think the quad thing, I don't know if that's going to be a problem this year, but I think going forward, mm-hmm. if it is degenerative, like was reported like last summer, that could be an issue long term. Totally. But I think for me, the Raptors are still the team in the East that I think have the most talented and I think the best fit for playoffs, in my opinion.
Darian's getting crazy on Twitter.
I saw that.
Beal for Jimmy.
I don't think Washington does. Well, maybe.
And then somebody else replied in and said he did a Jimmy to Houston, Capella to Wiz, Beal to Philly. 3-team trade.
Let's get wild.
I don't know if Houston does that. But I don't know. Yeah. I think Houston's just locked in right now, unfortunately for them. We'll see. I don't know if Jimmy gets moved, if I'm being honest. I wouldn't be against it, though, because I don't love the idea of re-signing him. I don't know if I've made that clear enough yet. Because I think that was like my second line when we were live and Jimmy Butler got traded here. I said, well, I don't really like the idea of paying him $35 million when he's 34 years old and can't run anymore.
But yeah, moving on to baseball news that doesn't involve Bryce Harper, because NJ.com Yankees beat reporters think they can get tips on where Bryce Harper's mystery teams are. But there are rule changes that are being proposed right now, and it involves a universal DH. So you would have the designated hitter in the National League. There would be a rule proposed to make relief pitchers have to face a lim. Trying to think of the word, brain fart. A minimum of three batters before they can be pulled. And then there's some other rule changes as well, but those are like the two that stand out. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on.
I mean, on making, I think on making it designated hitters for both leagues now, I kind of like the idea that, like, you have, like, a difference between league play, and it adds that little wrinkle when you, like, you know, you play an AL team, and that's something new that you have to kind of account for and think about. I think, though, if you're trying to, I think baseball's ultimate goal is to make their game as marketable and as watchable as possible. That's why they talk about trying to speed the game up and, you know, make it, you know, they're trying to stream it for free and get people as engaged as possible. I think that could be another way of just kind of making the game easier to understand, because I think if someone who maybe doesn't really watch much baseball, if they're trying to get into it, there's already, I think, enough stats and things like that that kind of overwhelm you to start, and there's so many different players and there's farm systems. I think it's really hard if you've never watched baseball to just jump right in.
What game are you trying to watch that talks about physics half the game? Exit velocity.
I thoroughly enjoy the StatCast broadcast, but yeah, that's just me. But these are the rule changes that are on the docket right now. Like we said, the three batter minimum for pitchers, the universal DH, a single trade deadline before the All-Star break. So instead of it coming on July 31st and having the waiver deadline as well in August, it would just be a single trade deadline before the All-Star break, a 20-second pitch clock, the expansion of rosters to 26 men with a 12-pitcher maximum, draft advantages for winning teams and penalties for losing teams to prevent tanking, a study to lower the mound, and then a rule that would allow two-sport amateurs to sign major league contracts, a.k.a. Kyler Murray.
I think that last one is important because that's another thing of baseball trying to make itself more relevant is they have to find a way to get these borderline guys. And they're special cases. You don't have one. You don't even have one every year, but the past few we've had a player in just about every like NFL draft that could have gone through the MLB. There's always that kind of discussion. That's smart, giving them a pathway at least. Can you go back to the page of some of the
other
ones?
And just in, there's a trade with Houston, Cleveland, and Sacramento that's sending Iman Shumpert to the Rockets.
Oh, big swing for the Rockets there. Jesus.
So yeah, here are the rules.
One of the greatest NBA what-ifs, not the tangent really.
Totally.
Iman Shumpert hits, if he hits that shot in the 2015 finals at the end of regulation to win that game, I think the Cavs win that series pretty handedly, that first Warriors series.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Sorry. MLB talk.
So here are the...
I like the DH. I like the pitching idea because, you know, like Matt said, you're trying to speed the game up and all this stuff, but, you know, you have certain managers that at the end of a game, they have different pitchers come out just because they want to face certain batters. And these are like, and I'm talking about like regular season games that like don't even matter. It's not like a playoff game where you really want to get these last three outs. So, you know, you have one guy face two pitchers.
I wouldn't mind the pitching thing if it was a two batter minimum. Because then you kind of let the pitcher get in a groove and then boom, you bring somebody else in. Because a three batter minimum, you're potentially going through one bottom or top of the inning. With that,
that's true. You can put yourself into a hole, but I think that's the whole reason why they want that is because
they want to extend starting pitchers too. Because last year you had an all-time low in starting pitchers finishing games and going deep into games,
which is why I think the designated hitter helps though, because then you're at least in the NL, of course, you're not having to have your pitcher go and hit and maybe do some extra running. It's more of a break for them. I think the most interesting thing on there, actually, though, is the draft advantages for winning teams
and
the penalties for losing teams. I like it simply because I think that's been – everyone's talked about baseball this offseason and the issues that arise, like with, you know, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado taking so long to make their decisions. The underlying issue, I think, is that there's only two or three teams that are interested in generational talents. You look at any other sport, any other sport, a player that of that caliber becomes available, every team is picking up the phone and making a call. Anthony Davis, everyone is making a phone call for him. Khalil Mack, you know, this summer when the Raiders were trading him, everyone wanted a piece. Everyone would have that discussion. You have Antonio Brown. Amari Cooper, Antonio Brown this summer will be someone that everyone is going to be interested in. With baseball, you're going into February right now, and you're going to be starting your preseason, and these guys are not on a team yet.
5 days.
The underlying issue is that there are 10 teams, at least, in the MLB right now that have no interest in winning, that are just it's worse than the NBA in terms of actively tanking. And the NBA did a smart thing this year where they kind of tweaked the odds where the bottom three teams have the same odds. And even going upward in the ranking, those teams have increased odds to jump into that top three, and the top three have, there's a chance, there's like a 50-50 chance that is a number, the bottom three team, you could pick number five. I think it's good for the MLB to try and cope with that and make sure that, because again, this is all with keeping in mind that they're trying to make baseball as attractive and as watchable as possible. When you have a third of the league that is actively losing, that's not good for anyone.
Okay, yeah, when you put it that way, I kind of agree with that.
Thank you. We had a productive.
I also think the mound lowering thing is interesting.
So a study, I'm assuming they're just.
I might. Yeah. I want to.
What do they mean by a study? Like they're just going to have some kind of stats guys look at it.
How low they can get it.
How low can you go?
Is there like specific reasonings though as to why
they are looking? It helps pitchers with their velocity. The past, I think, two times that the mound's been lowered. It could have been twice in league history that it's been lowered exponentially. It's helped with Tommy John surgery too,
like because the angle that you're throwing it,
you're lower to the ground, you're not really,
which again, if you're trying to preserve pitchers
down more.
I'm about to make my honors class do this and
go for it,
send it all over to Major League Baseball and get paid for it.
Dude, you might get on Ellen for that. Do it,
go for it.
Ellen, what's up?
Ellen DeGeneres. The Jenner seems so cool.
Goals.
That's a hashtag life goal.
Ellen.
Just Ellen.
Just
Ellen. Not just Ellen. That'd be like,
I love Ellen.
We're talking talk shows.
Ellen's great.
Ellen'd probably be the best one. I'd go Ellen.
Ellen
Jimmy
over
Fallon.
Oprah.
Oh, 100%.
Without a doubt.
Ellen is way more fun to be. Oprah's like, you go on there if you've had like a life harrowing experience. Ellen is like, oh, you went viral.
Or come you want,
on,
or you want a car.
Yeah, but even then, she only did that when she was like, she only did that like her last season. Her last season was the only season that she went crazy with
Ellen. Does that now too, like every single show. Yeah. It's like,
and then she does like the holiday giveaways too. I'm like,
and then if you come on her show as a guest, you get, you remember the Damn Daniel kid? He got like Vans for life. He got like a nice surfboard.
Yodeling kid.
The yodeling kid. God bless him. Dude, all right.
Yodeling
kid's turnaround was amazing because for like a day, everyone hated him. And now he's like a treasure.
He's going on tour. Coachella.
He's going on tour.
Yo, the only thing he needs to change is that little like spin.
Oh no, no, no.
That's
you
his
keep
signature.
That.
That's his brand.
He works it.
Okay, well then this is the thing. He overuses it. And he has to use it at the right
10.
Time. He goes.
I love it.
The man's got to be dizzy.
It's all about branding yourself.
He's got too much drip.
But yeah, those are the baseball rule changes. I think they're all
good on baseball for trying, you know.
Yeah, the other weird thing I think of this is that they're potentially going to implement this in a month when 2019 starts.
Really?
Which I think is strange because you've had teams that have gone and gotten their free agents and kind of filled out their rosters the way they thought they would be constructed. And now you're throwing a curveball, all pun intended, to potentially, because this would screw the Phillies in a way, because you traded Carlos Santana.
Yeah.
He would be the perfect DH.
Yeah, he'd be a great DH.
Yeah.
And now he's in Seattle. So hopefully they kind of just push it back to being the earliest as 2020 with any of these, but definitely something to monitor in terms of that. And then non-Bryce Harper news, the Phillies apparently have gone back in on the JT Realmuto sweepstakes, but it came out today that Derek Jeter wants to be slick and the Phillies must include Sixto Sanchez in any deal. And
psych, Derek.
Bye. You thought. I'm not trading Sixto to any team. unless it involves some guy named Mike out in Anaheim.
Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Lives, like, you know, 10 miles from here. But.
I don't know who that is.
Mike Trout?
Oh. Oof. Yeah. Ooh. I'm sorry.
Swing and a miss.
Over the head.
I don't,
that one's out of here.
I'm not a baseball guy. I'm sorry. It's just... I even
You have to know Mike Trout.
You teach in the school district where he's from.
You teach in the exact school.
No, because I thought you said a last name. I didn't hear you say from Anaheim. What did you say? You said Mike.
I said that Mike guy.
Yeah, no, see, yeah, I didn't hear you. I heard that all wrong. Now I know who you're talking about.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go on. God bless you.
Yeah, see, I did that one to myself.
Therefore, no one can judge you.
Eight in a row? Eight in a row for those guys in orange and black?
Hell yeah.
You were at the Vancouver game, obviously, because if you don't know, Brooke has the internship of a lifetime and gets to go to Flyers games, so.
Well, I have to work them. Well, I don't just get to go as an internship.
Yeah, but you're there.
It doesn't matter.
It's still
a great office.
The best experience of my life, especially with the hockey that they're playing right now. I mean, I expressed this on Twitter. The game against Edmonton, Flyers had no reason to win that game. And watching that comeback was the most exciting hockey that I've witnessed live ever.
But Nolan Patrick willed it.
Nolan Patrick. Again, I talked about him last week. Mm-hmm. I'm so impressed with how he keeps trying to push himself every single game. And he earned that because the winding seconds were winding down in the third, like less than 10 seconds, had two shots on goal. Like, frustrated because he missed a clear wide open net, broke his stick right before overtime, and then had that redemption. And that was awesome. Vancouver, Carter Hart. I can't express enough how amazing that he's playing. He's turned this entire team around. I went on a little tangent about it on Twitter earlier this week too, just because I have to, like, actually speak it out into the world because it sounds crazy. He's turned this entire team around, and he has people actively talking about hockey in the city again,
mm-hmm.
which is something that I have not, like, on sports radio, on mm-hmm. Twitter, out in public, everybody is talking about the Flyers right now. And that's ultimately the biggest takeaway that I get from this, is that they're a team that's in discussion as one of, like, they're the hottest team in the league right now in the NHL, which is something that you would not want to even discuss back in December when they were struggling as much as mm-hmm. they were. And here they are now, and they're still battling, and they're, what, 7 points?
7 points out.
7 points out now, but they were off back-to-back nights, mm-hmm. and they have L.A. and Anaheim this week.
On brand.
On brand. For those of you who don't know, I loathe Anaheim. It's just that one team that you know that you can't really fully express why you dislike them. Just it's the Ducks.
Really?
I hate the Ducks.
I loved Team Nisalani growing up.
Really?
That was, like, one of my favorite non-Flyers.
No, I can't.
Fair enough. Hey, we all have our team.
I can't.
We all have
our team. It's such an exciting time. And, I mean, 7 in a row for Hart. I am just...
Big Hart energy.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And I'm excited because Jeff Carter is coming with the Kings, and I know he's had his rough patches, but that whole 2010 cup run was the reason I thoroughly wanted to start following hockey. Mm-hmm. Jeff Carter was the first jersey that I've ever owned, and I'm really excited to see him back in Philly, so it should be a fun week. I think we're getting that winning streak to 10. So
hey, all I gotta say, we're doing better now than the Rangers and the Devils, and that makes me very happy.
Always.
Does Wayne Simmonds get traded now?
Mm-hmm. Watching the Flyers' success shouldn't change the fact that he needs to go. And it hurts because everybody loves Wayne Simmonds in this city, because especially when he's hot, and right now he's doing really well. Mm-hmm. He's really stepping up on the power play unit. And it's just something that when you're evaluating, it's great that he's doing well, but right now it's just adding more value to his to the whole trading aspect. And I know that the Preds had some trade actions with Brian Boyle I still think that it might be, like, Preds are really trying to lock down on their roster right now. I think Simmer would still be a solid fit with Nashville. I'm interested to see how things play out, though. We need to utilize his contract, though,
mm-hmm.
because we can get a solid return.
Yeah, it's better to get something for him than as opposed to just letting him walk this summer.
You can't let him walk.
Yeah, I agree. My concern with the Flyers, though, is this, is that the ceiling right now for this team still feels like, you know, first, maybe second round exit, which, you know, like, I think everyone loves when, like, you have playoff hockey. I think playoff hockey is the biggest step up in terms of, like, transition from regular season to postseason that you have in, like, the four major sports, because I think it's just way more intense. I think even if you tune out hockey for the whole year and tune in just for the playoffs, it's still just mm-hmm. as engaging, and I think it's very dramatic, and it's just high intensity. And I think, as much as we love that, I think we still know the direction of the Flyers is that this isn't a team that's really a contender. And I don't think we're quite the team that was struggling in November and December. I don't think that was really the Flyers as we should expect them to be. But I'm also not sure that this is the team that's ripping off, you know, 8, 9, 10 game win streaks. I mean, we had, what, that was 2 years ago where we had that 10-game win streak, and then we lost.
Then didn't make the playoffs, and then 10-game losing streak, and then you do make the playoffs. Flyers are known for being consistently inconsistent, and that's their brand.
Yep.
But I was at Game 4 and Game 6 last season against the Penguins, and that arena was dead. It was the most quiet I've ever heard Wells Fargo, which is ridiculous because it's playoffs. Vancouver, when Carter Hart made that diving save and stopped the puck off his arm, that was the loudest I've ever heard Wells Fargo. And there's just a completely different energy in the city with the fans, with this team. They want to compete. And I know it might be a little too late to get something going, but the way that they're playing right now, it's like night and day comparison. And everyone's backing this team up. I know there's still a few people who are, you know, like negative Nellies, and they're like, it doesn't matter.
That's just every team.
Well, everybody's always going to find a reason to, you know, have something bad to say. But I can't believe we have, and people are saying that it's too early to discuss this. Carter Hart is the friggin' future. He is. He's the future franchise goaltender that everybody has been waiting for. Who cares that he's only been up for a handful of games?
Mm-hmm.
He's proven game in and game out, except that one crazy game against Carolina when he allowed three goals in 10. Shit. Yeah, right.
I don't think any sane Flyers fan will disagree with that either, that he's the future. In my opinion, I don't know. I don't know if you.
He's getting Calder buzz.
Yeah.
So it's not even undeserved.
You'd be surprised though, because I had people. I was listening to 97.5, and there were people following the Vancouver game saying that they would trade Hart for McDavid.
Not with that contract.
Hart for McDavid? I don't know. You might have a discussion there. I don't know.
You can't win games without a goaltender, though. And he's putting up numbers at 20.
You win a lot of games with Connor McDavid.
I mean, I feel so bad for the guy that he's stuck in Edmonton, because generational talent needs to get... But he can stay there while they're suffering. It's not going to...
Have you seen the look in that dude's eyes? He is dead.
Totally.
He's dead.
I feel so
there.
Bad. I do. But... Hart stay.
Yeah, but don't send Carter Hart over there.
No.
Man, you remember when Edmonton was good? They had like that 3-year window, like mid-2000s, went to the Stanley Cup. That was a great series.
And it's gone.
There's me reminiscing about hockey. I think my issue with the Flyers, and I don't know if this is just me because I love a good tank. I was saying in December, I was ready.
I had embraced
the sweet kiss of I was ready to smash Tankathon again. I was ready to start just deep diving in hockey prospects.
We have enough prospects right now.
Here's my issue. I feel like this is every Flyer season ever. We have a patch of bad form. And it's like, all right, like, something. We need to shake this team up. We need a trade. Voracek needs to play better.
Oh, God.
10-game win streak. This team's great. We're going to win the Stanley Cup. Sneak in seventh. We, like, a few years ago, we beat the Capitals in the like a few games. It's like, oh, we could do this. We didn't. last year against the Penguins, like, well, you know, the Penguins, we hate them, blown out in four of the games.
That had so much to do with goaltending, though. Oh, my God.
I just, listen. Hextall. I've just been hurt so many times by the Flyers. I feel like I've seen the same exact season. Like, the past, like, three out of the last five have been almost exact carbon copies. I'm just worried that this was a season where I don't... Listen, losing sucks, and I think the Flyers, especially as a fan base, are a lot different than the other Philly sports because the Flyers have never really... They've never tanked. Their entire existence has been about being competitive and putting a good product out. Ed Snyder, when he was alive, was willing to spend any money that was necessary to put good players out there. It was carte blanche, anything they wanted. So in a way, not that they're spoiled by that, but I think it's just that they've grown accustomed to having a team that is regularly competitive. And I even heard Flyers fans being very dismissive of like the Sixers and how they were tanking and that the Flyers would never do that. And not that that represents the whole fan base, but I think that's the general sentiment though of a lot of Flyers fans is that that's just not the way. And I think that's hockey in general too, is sort of, it's just, there's just like, I think, different principles and values about it. I think that this might have been the year though that maybe you do kind of scrap the season and say, look, like, realistically, almost like with the Clippers, it's like, mm-hmm. what is our ceiling here? What is this team realistically accomplishing by making another playoff push? You know, like, I understand hockey's different than pretty much every other sport too, that if you just get hot, who knows? Like, that 2010 yeah. Cup run, let's be real, like, that team was not that great. But we were, you know, just a few games away and not having Lauton and Nett from probably winning a Stanley Cup. So, I don't know. The thing is,
once you make the playoffs, it's anybody's game. Mm-hmm. It really is. So,
I've heard that every year.
I know, but like I said, the entire, like, the feel, everything has shifted. And I know you're probably like, okay, well, we've heard that every season too, but it's different. Everything,
and you're there almost every
everything
night.
Feels different. I have been there since preseason, and it got quieter and quieter when they were going through the drought. They were last in the league, and then everything started to turn around and gain momentum. And even from back for the home opener against the Sharks, it still wasn't as crazy as it was as it is now. Mm-hmm. And that had a lot to do with coaching, GM, goaltending changes, absolutely, because people saw that the organization is changing. And a huge sigh of relief through Flyers Twitter today, your Laterra is on waivers. So
later.
Life of the party, you're in there. Hey.
So it's, you're seeing that everything is kind of taking form, and it should have been done earlier in the season, of course, but you can only do so much with the time allotted. But I don't know. Like you said, I've been to every single game,
yeah,
aside from
absolutely
one or two.
You have your finger on the pulse.
Right. It's there. It's going. It's growing. And if they can sneak their way into the playoffs this season, if they can pull that off and make a wild card spot, it's going to be different.
So a second round exit is what you're
saying. Look, I'm curious to see how things play down with the Penguins next week, seeing if we can finally break our outside game losing streak. But I mean, we beat the Penguins earlier in the season when they were struggling, and any win against Pittsburgh is a win in my books. Mm-hmm. I don't care what place we are in the standings, if you can beat Pittsburgh, you got to celebrate. We have the opportunity to do that again, and I think that it'll show some level of they're here. And it all comes down to division games toward the end of the season, mm-hmm. because I forget how many games that they have left at home, but the final stretch is dominantly home games. Mm-hmm. So while home ice advantage wasn't something that was even discussed in the beginning of the season, because let's be honest, they were losing on the road, they were losing at home. It wasn't good. They're winning. they're winning. And I'm so happy to say that for two consecutive weeks now, because everybody knows I'm the hockey girl. And I've been saying from the beginning of the season that for some reason it was going to be different and it was going to be special. And I didn't know what that was going to be. It's Carter Hart. It's turned the entire mentality of the team around. And you can tell that locker room is different from how it was going into the new year. And I'm here for it. Let them keep winning. Let them get that high. That's all I have to say.
I think when we have an autopsy of this season, whether it's after a playoff exit or whatever happens, I think Carter Hart will be probably diagnosed as the main turning point of the season. I think you could even make both Hextall departures another huge turning point, at least from a fan perspective. But Carter Hart, I 100% agree, and I think everyone has to at this point. He has reinvigorated the team, and I think everyone is just nuts about him. I think he's, you know, you talk to any Flyers fan in the past, like, two decades have just been searching for a goaltender. Like, you're talking about, like, between Boucher and Čechmánek, like, it's just always been, like, searching for that next guy and never having any consistency and seeing those. And they're not even flashes anymore. You're getting complete game performances from Carter Hart. Mm-hmm. That save he got against Vancouver is, like,
he's stealing games for the Flyers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's something that no other goaltender on our roster is capable of doing. I don't ever want to see Neuvirth or Elliott play ever again in Philadelphia.
I think a lot of people will share that sentiment.
And Markelle Fultz in a rocket ship and just send him to the moon.
And it's a shame because when Elliott's healthy, he's a decent goaltender. It's just finding that level of consistency and making sure that he's healthy. Neuvirth, the glass man, needs to seriously contemplate his health because he can't stay healthy more than a 3-4 game span.
I'd say 3-4 minute span, but
I mean, you never know if he's coming back out after warm-ups for a game, which terrible. Is unfortunate, but I said this last week, it's Hart and Stolarz, mm-hmm. and I'm perfectly fine with that.
I'm all in.
Here's to Carter Hart.
Cheers.
Last bit of things before we get to our Wall of Fame inductees. Carson Wentz broke his silence from the Joe Santoliquido article and didn't really deny much of it. Kind of said that, you know, he's got to be better. He's got to step up and be a better teammate. And this was in kind of like an exclusive sit down with the media. The Eagles as an organization handpicked, I think, 6 media members to kind of just go in for a private session with Carson Wentz to kind of debrief him on this whole thing.
Eagles propaganda, huh?
And then he did a whole sit-down with Dave Spinero as well that's available on the Eagles website. But he broke his silence, and Nick Foles is a free man right now because the Eagles picked up his option yesterday.
He voided that in, like,
2 seconds. He voided that, paid his $2 million, and said bye. And now there's reports that the Eagles are planning to franchise tag him to trade him, but that's against the collective bargaining agreement and is, for lack of a better term, illegal.
Great.
Because their whole motivation behind that is to prevent him from going and signing with the Giants in free agency.
Oof. All I gotta say is thanks, Nick.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank
Agreed.
You. Now, if he was truly an Eagle, he would never sign for the Giants.
No division teams.
Yeah.
I still think he ends up in one of the Florida teams, either the Dolphins or Jacksonville. Go to Jacksonville.
I could see him at Jacksonville.
My Dolphins.
I think either one because it's expected now. This came out a couple days ago that Ryan Tannehill is going to be released.
God bless him.
Blake Bortles is trash.
There was a time in my life where I thought Ryan Tannehill was going to save the Dolphins.
Same. I was right there with you. Which I honestly think...
That was a really dark time for me.
Once Nick Foles is gone...
Fins up, baby.
I would not be shocked if the Eagles bring Ryan Tannehill in to be Carson Wentz's backup.
Listen, if it gets his wife closer to... Tannehill's wife has been my fantasy team name for like 8 years. Here's to you, Mrs. Tannehill.
This is getting weirder and weirder.
She's a lovely lady. What?
You love to see it. But yeah, so we'll monitor the whole Nick Foles thing as it unfolds.
I think Carson Wentz is kind of just playing to it also. I mean, that's also his personality. He's going to accept it and see that he can do better and, you know.
Yes and no. I feel like, because, like, yeah, the article came out, and when we first saw it, like, oh, this is BS. Like, we're not. You kind of go back and read it. Yeah, there's BS in it because, as any journalism major or minor knows, you always have to have at least one quoted source. Well,
which we've talked about, yeah.
And there were no quoted sources in the entire article. But are there people in that locker room that probably weren't the biggest fans of Carson Wentz? Yes. Are they going to say who they are? Absolutely not. Because it could be anybody from the practice squad. It could be a starter. It could be anybody.
And the thing is, if a reporter, if a writer were to drop those sources, they lose the chance of ever having that confidentiality moving forward. And that kind of, you know.
Plus, Carson's going to kind of play to it, like you said, Dom, because Joe Santoliquito's going to be in that locker room next year. Why create an awkward situation with him being there and all that kind of stuff when you don't have to? So
yeah, no, and I don't think Carson's that kind of guy either to, you know, badmouth or, like, kind of just deny somebody and call them crazy and be like, I don't know what they're talking about this game. That would kind of play into what Joe was writing about in the first place. So, you know, you kind of see that, you know, Carson's just going to take responsibility and be a, you know, big person about it and kind of just say, you know what, I do have to get better. He's right. And, you know, maybe he does make those necessary decisions to kind of fix the mistakes he made, you know, last year, kind of what he did 2 years ago.
Let people know that he's hurt.
Yeah, you know, but
because this year more than ever, we saw him express frustration on the sideline.
Right.
Especially in that Saints game, which was the game before they were like, all right, yeah, he's done because of the back.
Right.
You know, you saw him throwing his helmet on the sideline way more than we ever have. You saw him just
I've never seen him that frustrated.
Just pissed off. Because
he knew what he could do, but his body was just, you know, failing him. It's good, yeah.
And you have to kind of look at things from his perspective as well. Put yourself in his position from where he's been these past two seasons, where the entire city's looking for him to finally, you know, step up and be that, you know, said franchise quarterback that we've been looking for, and gets hurt, has to come out, and Foles leads them into the postseason.
And this is when
twice.
He's being considered as the MVP of the league.
Right, right. He was putting up record numbers last season.
He broke the Eagles' all-time passing touchdowns in a season record without playing the last three games.
So he has a right to be frustrated. Anybody would be frustrated if they were taken away from something that they've been working so hard for, having a great season. He should not have come back as early as he did this year.
Totally agree.
Because coming off of any type of ACL, MCL injury, you have to be at 100% or you can risk doing even more damage to it.
If and on top of that, it was the IT band too,
right,
which is
crazy. So I know that he's frustrated that he, like what you said, he's not able to do what he wants to do because of his body, and it's limiting him. So that's frustrating, and I would be frustrated as well. So, and it's also not, you know, unsaid that quarterbacks don't have a level, like some sort of ego in the locker room. You're supposed to carry the team. You're supposed to hold yourself to some sort of stature. So if people are frustrated with him, okay, you have to move forward, though, because he is a leader out there. And you know that even if he is frustrated, he's still pulling for this team every time he's on the sideline because he wants what's best for the Eagles. And he wants that to be him, but unfortunately, he just has to wait until he's healthy to make that happen. So
agree. And unfortunately, we're no longer the defending Super Bowl champs. But after that Super Bowl, we had to watch.
Brady.
I still think we're the defending champs because that Super Bowl was abysmal.
Snooze.
But that's all we're going to talk about on that because we're an Eagles, pro Eagles podcast and pro Philadelphia sports. And we don't get in fights at our parades, so that's how that goes.
Or see sidewalk. That was my biggest takeaway. True. They were like, you never see this at the Eagle Super Bowl parades. I was like, sidewalk or the fights? Because both.
Um, But let's get to...
Oh, wait, hold on, though. Did you see the one kid that had 17 or 12?
The bane of my existence. Talk about it. The bane of my existence.
God, I hope the kid just snapped his leg.
The kid who continually adds the championships to his
sign. Oh, yeah.
Every year, there's one smug Boston kid with
a blank leg.
Oh, well, did you see the baby? The baby? Two championship parades in 4 months.
Yeah, but the downside is, you know, that's just grow up living in Boston.
That's just bad parenting. Why are you bringing a 4-month-old to a parade with?
Especially a Boston sports parade, because I feel like
they. It was nice out though. It wasn't like super cold.
They drink just as much.
Oh yeah, they drink really hard. Their second parade in the last 4 months. They've had 12.
They had 98 days.
People don't go to those parades anymore.
Yeah, they also ride on top of, like...
duck boats.
Yeah, like, weird things. They don't... Like, we Boston, had man. Coach buses.
It's because they still have, like, tainted tea in their water.
Oh, it's because they literally have this every year. Like, oh, yeah, another championship. Cool. Stupid. Am I jealous? Yes.
I feel
Am I hurt? Also, yes.
I feel like you just can't appreciate the win as much as you would in any other city who doesn't see a championship as often as they do. Like, I feel like if it was Boston, it would... I'm not saying anything about Boston fans not being passionate, don't get me wrong, but after that win last year, everything in Philadelphia changed.
Mm-hmm.
Sixers and went on a win streak, Flyers went on a win streak, we were undefeated in all sports in February.
I'm saying that if the Sixers win an NBA championship, you're going to have to, like, attach, like, a GPS chip into some part of my body. I might just be on the streets of Philadelphia for weeks, just celebrating.
I get to find my iPhone.
I will be the most obnoxious.
We'll find
human
you somewhere
being.
Crawled up on Broad
If we win
Street.
An NBA championship in the next 5 years, I will be the most obnoxious human being. Because I'll have like the time, you know. I won't have like children to tend to or anything like that. Like, I will go missing. There will be 48 hours where no one will be able to find me. Don't worry, I'll be fine. But I'm just letting you know ahead of time. Rewind this. If you put it like an Amber Alert for me or whatever it is when a doll goes missing. I'm fine. It's like the meme where it's like the dog in the car. It's like, don't worry, the air conditioning's on and his favorite song is playing. It's like, don't worry. He's got 240 strapped to his hands and he's on Broad Street somewhere. He'll be alright.
Playing Here Come the Sixers.
Yeah, I'll be somewhere.
Clap his hands though.
Clap his 40s.
Duct taped all to his wrists.
I'll be chopping it up in some alley with someone. I don't know. Dude, I'm not kidding, man.
Catch me slumped on 16th and Sansom.
Be at the Magic Gardens just collecting tickets like I work there. Hey, it's great. This guy Billy, he built this thing. He built it all himself. Just started doing it. Hey, did you know the Sixers won? September. I haven't shaved.
Looking like Forrest Gump.
We've been warned.
I'm sleeping in Love Park. That's my 5-year plan. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Hopefully passed out in Love Park celebrating an NBA championship.
Good lord.
Panhandling outside Reading Terminal Market.
Yeah, I don't know. I want that. Like, I want Liverpool to win the league this year and then the Sixers. That's like my ideal fantasy world. But because of my life, I won't get either.
I was going to say neither.
Be crushing defeat. Please, Sixers, just save me.
Whew.
Yeah, load dude. Up. Who cares about Boston anymore, man?
I'm done.
And that's the intro for our
Sounds
world's
like a lot
dungeons.
Of hoopla.
Let's get to the inductions for our first class of the Underground Sports Philadelphia Wall of Fame. Everybody who voted on Twitter, shout out to you. You know, astronomical number of votes for every single poll. This is just our way to celebrate us being a podcast.
Some of these were the hardest decisions that I've ever had to make as a Philadelphia fan. I just want to let you know that.
We had one tie, so we will have 6 inductees rather than 5.
We have things to put up on the wall?
We will, soon enough.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to attempt to deliver certificates of some sort to the people that we can. That's my goal.
Yeah, okay. Sixers fan base did send Brett Brown a fruit basket a few years ago. So you can.
So it's possible.
It can happen.
Because we can get it to, I think, 5 out of 6. The ballots were all 4 major teams, and then we had the Legends ballot because we had 4 real-life Hall of Famers this year. So kicking off with the Legends ballot, that's where our tie came in. So our first inductees are former Eagle safety and Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins.
Well-deserved.
The Doc.
Absolutely.
And former Phillies ace and newly inducted Baseball Hall of Fame Roy Halladay.
Well-deserved.
So those are our Legend ballot. Don't know if we'll keep the Legend ballot a running ballot just because you don't get 4 Hall of Famers every single year, but that'll be kind of the interchanging ballot that we do every year.
Either it'll be a ballot or we could just bring somebody in just if there was news or something that came out over the course of the year.
So it'll be something to be that 5th spot. But Brian Dawkins, Roy Halladay are the Legend inductees. Our Eagles inductee is the entire Super Bowl team, so 2017-2018 Eagles. It just felt right. You couldn't single out Nick Foles or just Doug Peterson or anything like that. So the entire Super Bowl team gets into our Wall of Fame. The Flyers, it's that man on the wall right there, Gritty.
Gritty.
He broke the internet, and he's the most followed mascot on Twitter. It just seemed right. Plus, Carter Hart didn't really...
Do a body shot off of Gritty?
He's got an Audi, dude.
That's all I can see afterwards.
All the better for a body shot. You want an Audi. You need a raised surface. Keep going.
Come on, we're trying to lower the mound.
This is a family show. This is a family show.
Okay, come on. We've all thought about it.
Have we, though?
So yeah,
if the Sixers win a championship, that's who I'm looking for. Me and Gritty just terrorizing the streets.
Oh, man.
Gritty is our Flyers inductee. Our Phillies inductee, he finished 3rd in the Cy Young voting this year, had an all-star season. Phillies ace Aaron Nola, well-deserved. Nice. And our Sixers inductee, this was the toughest tiebreaker, but we finally broke the tie. And Joel Embiid's mask gets into the Wall of Fame. Justice Winslow tried to break it and take his powers. Didn't happen.
Dude, that Heat series.
We beat the Heat in 5 games. Joel came out to ring the bell game one in a Phantom of the Opera mask. And
when he tried throwing the mask away, and Brett Brown, like an angry father, called a timeout and shoot him out.
He goes.
Brett Brown yelling at 7'3" Joel Embiid to put his goddamn mask back on. It was a great moment. That has to be a mural somewhere.
It goes on
a Renaissance painting.
Goes on his Instagram and is like, complaining that he's ready to play, and then that's when the mask comes out. Joel Embiid copyright claimed us for the mask, so
that I think that's the like thing that puts it over the hump to put him.
Joel knows we exist.
On, like,
I'll say that was a tough fight with the burner accounts.
It was,
The burner accounts were much more damaging and hurtful. Yeah.
And I think Joel's mask deserves to be celebrated.
The shushing meme. The mask was.
If we never found out about the burner accounts, we wouldn't have Tobias Harris and Boban.
Yeah, but we would have the best or GM Jimmy. In the league still running our team that has totally normal collars. Please find a new slant on.
What's that? Oh, it's a snake. But yeah, those are our Wall of Fame inductees. So Brian Dawkins, Roy Halladay, Aaron Nola, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, Joel Embiid's mask, and Gritty.
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 So we are going to try to get like certificates or awards to all the people we can, including Gritty, because I think that'd be fantastic.
I'll see what I can do.
A P.O. box.
But yeah, that's our first Wall of Fame class for the first year of the podcast. Tomorrow is 1 year of existence since we were over there for an hour talking about the Eagles winning the goddamn Super Bowl. And
we've come a long way. The table has doubled in size.
It's been... We moved from Tyler's couch for Sixers Saturdays.
That was a nice little background, though. Yeah, you know, the atmosphere was kind of cool, but you know, now we're in our home.
Now.
Yeah. Sorry, Tyler. I don't know where you're at anymore.
He's on tour again.
Did you know Tyler Steinbrun got called up to play drums for the Killers? Did you guys know about this?
This is news to me, really.
Legend. Big Tyler Steinbrun
got a whole NBC. Don't forget the name. He's done about it.
Exclusive.
Oh, he got job offers for it.
Yeah.
Dude, he had like a mini documentary about him.
He's in an entire... He started that whole kick with the Killers, and now there's an entire group chat that they have of all the people that have been called up on stage with them.
That's badass. Here's the Tyler Steinbrunn.
Cheers. But yeah, this whole podcast wouldn't be happening without everybody here. You know, you and I kicked it off. Matt jumps on for Sixer Saturday, the Saturday after, and a year later, we've been doing some crazy, crazy things, including...
I think it's time to bring Top Bins back.
Yeah, if someone would start watching soccer again.
Boom!
Hey, I watch soccer. Just one league.
Every now and again.
We've gone from having podcasts at the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs Stadium on the concourse to interviewing NFL players to MLB prospects to Chris McKendry from ESPN coming on the show to
the Arkells
we got to hang out with, which March 2nd could be happening again.
Being with Jamil, and he
Jamil's first interview of his NFL career
ends up going to the Super Bowl.
Ends up being an NFC champion. You know, partnering back up with Vineland High School football. A whole bunch of stuff we've done in a year. So
here's March Madness, baby.
Take what we've done in a year. That time. And we're taking things to the next level.
Watching college basketball.
The sky's the limit.
And now we got Brooke here too. So
yes,
the team
hello.
Is huge.
We're balling.
Hey,
you guys are stuck with
me. We
got
interns now, too.
We got interns over here. So big things are coming, but thank you to everybody that's either, you know, hit the play button, hit the subscribe button, watched a Facebook Live, a whole bunch of things, you know, wherever it may be. Thank you for listening and taking this leap of faith with us as Dom walks somewhere.
He's getting the...
celebratory.
The brownies.
Brownies.
Place it...
Right there.
Just lift it up. Give the folks at home a nice little.
Smart.
Just give them.
Boom.
We're mostly just getting your forearm, which is not as.
Not friendly. Ideal. Not as appetizing.
That's, you know, I think that might be the best we're going to get here.
Right there.
Anyone listening to this audio is going to have no clue. There's a very nice plate of brownies with a first birthday candle in the midst.
That was for the live.
Not lit.
But yeah, we've done the damn thing for a whole year, and thanks to you two, especially for. Seeing the vision and helping me make this happen.
Thanks to you for being serious about it and just
we're out
keeping it, keeping us accountable for it.
We're out here doing big things.
Keeping me accountable for it.
So here's a whole another year. We're getting ready to record an Outside the Box because not only did the Sixers make a trade, the Wings made a trade today, so we got to talk about that.
Busy.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys live again on Saturday for another live show, and then we have... Wings post game on Saturday. It
could
be
our first podcast in the post Fultz era. Who knows?
Load up. My Thoracic Park shirt is on the way.
There is a home game this Saturday, right?
Yes. Against the Colorado Mammoth.
I smell coffee. Am I having a stroke?
I think you're smelling the cookie.
I think it might be the brownies.
No. I don't know if that answers my question.
I think that's going to do it for episode number 104, the anniversary show of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Once again, show presented by Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. We wouldn't be here for a year without them, so shout out to the sponsors. Like I said, we'll catch you guys on Saturday. This is an extra long edition of the podcast because we do big things out here now. It's year two. So we'll catch you guys Saturday. Peace. Mm-hmm.